Tony McCauley there with his thought for the day.
Now, over the next few days, we're going to be looking at those people who leave places of conflict and end up here seeking refuge. The whole issue, of course, has been in the spotlight with the war in Ukraine. And tomorrow we're going to hear from a young man who fled Afghanistan and ended up in Northern Ireland.
But first today, what happens to unaccompanied children and young people who arrive here with nowhere to live? The Fostering Network estimate that across Northern Ireland, we need around 256 odd extra fostering families to meet the current demand of children and young people requiring a foster home. I've been speaking to Lindsay Lynch, who started fostering in her 20s. That might seem quite unusual, but she actually comes from a family of fostering, so she sort of is in the system, if you like. She knows how it works. She's now in her 30s. She's had over 15 children in her care. And about 2 years ago, she welcomed a teenage refugee from Eritrea called Heaven into her home. Heaven is now 18. She wasn't up for talking to us yet. We hope to have a chat with her in the future, but she was happy for Lindsay to speak on her behalf. So I've been speaking to Lindsay and I began by asking her why she decided to do this.
I have grown up with my parents fostering, so I've always wanted to do it just whenever I moved into my own home. I was approached to take a young girl who was living in a home with six other boys, and I just thought, well, why not? You know, albeit, yes, she's from a different country, and she was a young refugee. That didn't really make a difference to me. I was here to offer a young person a home that's a safe environment. So whilst, of course, it would have its challenges of coming from a different country, language barriers and culture and things like that, you know, I was more than happy to go along with it and hope that it worked out well and it was a good fit for my family as well.
Having somebody with you who's a refugee from a war, and obviously Ethiopia and Eritrea were at war for many years, and to have somebody with you that's coming out of a conflict, they might have additional issues. So how are you prepared to deal with that?
I knew nothing about any of that, to be honest with you. I did a little bit of research just before she came, but most of my learning has come from Heaven herself and telling me all about her country and how she lived. And I, you know, was completely mind blown with this is what children are sort of living through in other countries. I suppose just talking to her about it is the best that I can do, but knowing her limits, like sometimes Heaven didn't want to open up and knowing when to sort of step back and when enough was enough for her. But presenting myself and making sure I was approachable if she did ever want to sort of talk about things, she would have maybe often got sort of emotional about talking about family because she missed them. She also massively missed her culture, and that was definitely something that, and still something that I always encourage with her, to, you know, go and get whatever food you need to get and make your home food here. That's not a bother, and let me try it. And those sort of things is all what I feel like and the way I can best support her, really. I mean, I've never experienced a child coming from a war or anything like that, so it's new to me, and it's still always learning to me as well. So learning for us both. But she opens up now and again and talks about it, and other times she's a bit sort of closed off, and that's totally fine. I just work with her as and when it suits her.
You sound like you're pretty proud of her, that you're pretty impressed by her as a person.
Oh, I mean, yeah, she's amazing. You know, she has a great sort of work ethic. She really wants to do well for herself. She's really thrown herself into what, as a country, we can offer here, like her education. She has just got herself a job in the Belfast Trust, so it's just lovely to see how well she's getting on. A lot of children sort of come here to Northern Ireland, then head across the water to England and feel there's maybe more opportunities, and that was something she definitely had a think about. But I think she's really embraced life here, and she's got the support obviously of me and our family here, and she's lots of friends, and she's volunteered for her community youth group and things. So she's just brilliant. She really is. I am so proud of her.
I mean, obviously don't want to go too far because, you know, Heaven is 18 and maybe she'll do an interview and give us her own thoughts one day on her own experience. But are you able to give us any kind of idea of how she came to be with you and what kind of things she went through?
It's something that she doesn't massively open up about. She, I think, has travelled through several different countries.
To get here.
Yeah, it flew into Dublin, travelled up, I think, on the back of a lorry, and she was found at the docks. From there, obviously, given her age, she was taken straight on by the trust, and she went into the home then that she was in before she came to me. So I was her first experience of fostering. Prior to that, she was in, you know, a children's home. Lots of, I think, young refugees tend to go through a children's home, and I think the struggle of for foster carers to take these young people. I mean, I did some training through the trust on fostering refugees, and it was crazy scary the experiences that they have, you know, in terms of potentially being trafficked here and things like that. So just the thoughts that could have ever happened to her just is not worth thinking about. So I'm so glad she's happy and she's in a safe environment and she's doing really, really well for herself.
I mean, you've been fostering, you're 33 and you've already been fostering for 7 years, but since you were 26, what is it like fostering and raising three kids?
Yeah, it can have its challenges, but there's lots of benefits to it. My two foster children at the minute are 16 and 18, and they are a great help in helping me with my own young children. So we work really well as a family, and they chip in to give me a wee break now and again, which is really, really good. And it's good for them as well, you know, learning about, you know, bringing up children, because maybe one day they might want to have children as well, and they maybe haven't had the best of backgrounds and upbringings. So it's nice to see. Well, hopefully that's my goal, yeah. You know, part of my goal in being a foster carer, that they can learn how to bring up a family in case they ever want to do that in the future themselves.
If somebody's listening today and they think, oh, I couldn't do that, what would you say to them? Like, I wouldn't be able for it. What would you say?
If you have any sort of heart and you have room in your house, you could absolutely do it. I get lots of help and support and training from the trust, and anything that I need, there's someone there to help me. So if you're having a wee think about it, definitely look it up or get speaking to somebody. I'm here just to simply help support, you know, mentor these children or give them a safe and loving home and family. And that's all they want.
Lindsay Lynch, three children of her own, fostering two, been doing it since she was 26 years of age. If you are interested in fostering, you can call HSCNI Foster Care, and the number for them is 0800 0720 137. So that's 0800 0720 137. Or you can visit adoptionandfostercare.hscni.net.
It is